today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Patrick, who's on the phone?
The man of the hour has an air of great power that dudes have envied him for so long.
Oh, Tug Baker. Day four of Tug Baker week.
It is fantastic, Tug.
This is great. It's so nice to reconnect with Tug. We haven't talked to him in the longest time.
I know.
Tug, if people want to follow you, because you know a lot about music, how do they do that?
I'm on Twitter sometimes.
Okay.
I'm Tug3000. I can't honestly remember the last time I tweeted, but occasionally I do. Usually it's more about beer or food rather than music.
Our listeners like those things,
too. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm a longtime internet lurker. That's what I do on the internet.
Okay, so we have Tug on the FaceTime here from South Carolina.
Yep.
This is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
Please rate and review the show, and please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, just as Tug, I'm sure, has done.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Also, we've been talking with Tug last couple of days here about a thing he does every January where he kind of cuts himself off from modern America and instead does a deep dive into a couple of artists and goes through their back catalog.
Yeah.
And yesterday we talked about Patti Smith, and today we're going to talk about who, Tug?
We're talking about Curtis Mayfield today, guys. Hmm. This is the one where I bit off more than I could chew.
There's a lot.
This dive is really deep.
Yeah.
This dive is really... So I went on Facebook whenever I was starting this project and basically did out a call and said, hey, like, I'm doing this weird thing I do in January, looking for some ideas. Patti Smith is I know who I'm leading off with, who would be a good idea to follow. And I got lots of great suggestions. But my buddy Pat Wall, who he and I used to do a music blog together way back in the day of music blogs, he suggested Curtis Mayfield. And as soon as he said it, I was like, yes, that's it. Like, that's perfect. But I think maybe he was trying to trick me because I think he knew that it would kill me. It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot because, and here's the dilemma that you come across with these things is, do I just do all Curtis Mayfield? Or do I go back and do the impressions and Curtis Mayfield? Do I do every song that Curtis Mayfield produced and wrote? Because there's a lot of those. I did cut it off there. I was like, I can't.
You would need a year.
Yeah, I can't go that far. But I did. I started off with first solo record. And then I was like, I really do want to go back and listen to the impressions and his work with them. And that's where I got stuck, because it's so good. It's, those records are the easiest thing to put on a weekend morning when you're just kind of getting up and walking around the house. It's hard to, want to switch to the harder, funkier 70s, when you've got those smooth R&B tones. But I fell in love with a couple of records, a bunch of records, a bunch of songs.
Well, why don't you kick us off with some impressions so we start with that?
Yeah, the two impressions records that really stuck with me were This Is My Country and The Young Mods' Forgotten Story from 68 and 69. And this particular song, they had a lot of great songs that were, because he was very, very important to the civil rights movement and a lot of, great activist songs. This particular one, since people probably already know about those, this is one that I found that I just thought was just a really great bit of songwriting and a really great bit of mixing moods. I think you'll kind of see, once it gets playing, you'll kind of see what I'm talking about, and we'll talk about it after.
Okay.
Years now I find it was just a waste of time.
What can you say, man?
I don't know. It's so good. Like, you don't want that to ever stop.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I could hear somebody's toe tapping. It's this super catchy song. Got that great horn line going, and then got the woo-woos going on that are, I'm not going to do my falsetto for you guys, but you know what I'm talking about. And then the lyrics underneath it are this kind of real bitter, real like angry,
yeah.
Flip off to an ex. Like, I don't think I've heard a happier tune that was this, you know, like actually really a breakup song than maybe, or something that makes those feels than like, you know, the CeeLo Green, like FU song, like, you know, like that's the only thing I can think of. It's like, it's so happy, but it's such a angry song.
That's well said.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, so fantastic. And you know, The Impressions had so many well-known songs and hits and just an incredible group. And then to go on to a solo career like Curtis did is kind of incredible too.
Right, yeah. So he wasn't with them for, you know, for the entire, he went on to do his own thing, obviously. But like the years that he was there, I listened to a lot of those records and they really stick with you. They're really good. There's a terrific singles collection out there that you can get, A-sides and B-sides, all good stuff with them. They're pretty terrific.
Was he there during People Get Ready? Yeah.
Yes.
That was his composition.
That was one of the greatest songs ever.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. One of the best songs ever written. And so many of these songs, you know, that one, Keep on Pushing, a lot of these that became these, you know, things that Martin Luther King, you know, would, you know, encourage people to sing at rallies and things like that. You know, these R&B songs, just because Kurt Smith joined the group when he was 14. Like,
yeah.
Nuts. Like, and then, you know, a few years later, he's churning out these, you know, just incredible songs. Like, and he can do the snarky love song, and he can do the, you know, the call to power. Like, it's great. It's terrific.
Okay. So then you get into his solo work, right?
Yeah. So then you get into his solo work. And so I'm going to go, Move On Up is probably the, you know, from his first record, is probably the most well-known song of his. But I want to play the very first track on it, because I think for a guy, you know, coming out to do a solo career and saying, like, I'm going to set the tone for, you know, not just this album, but for, you know, my career, I don't know of a bigger statement you could make than the first track off of his first record, which is parentheses, don't worry, in parentheses, if there's a hell below, we're all gonna go.
Last night, I was so depressed, and I went and got the Bible, and I turned to the book of Revelation. And if people would just get read the Bible and read the book of Revelation, they would really turn around and straighten up.
Sisters, niggas, whiteys, Jews, crackers, don't worry, if there's hell below, we're all gonna go.
Thank you.
Okay, so I know we've talked before about the concept of track one on your debut album.
Yeah.
Now, this isn't exactly it because, of course, Curtis Mayfield already had a career, established career, but this was technically his first solo album, right? Called Curtis, 1970. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty provocative statement to make with the first song.
7 minutes and 50 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and it's there's like multiple levels of it too. There's this lady talking about how if people want to get right, they need the Book of Revelations, which is not really the book I think you start with. it's a reason. Then you have him coming in with his like spoken part, telling the song title and everything, and then the scream. Oh my God, the scream. Like, oh God, there's so much that is so just electric and defiant about it. I love it.
Amazing. I think, his work along with There's a Rat Going On by Sly Stone and What's Going On by Marvin Gaye and maybe Inner Visions by Stevie Wonder, right? Those are all pretty turning point kind of records, as is often pointed out in the early 70s for a lot of different reasons.
Okay, so how many albums or songs or whatever do you think you listened to of Curtis Mayfield over the last month?
If I hadn't gotten so bogged down with the Impressions ones, I mean, I think I did make it through just about everything. There may have been some, maybe a couple of the 80s ones that I didn't really get to, which I think, from what I've read, that's probably okay.
Yeah.
But I definitely, this is the problem with the deep dive is if you really like go back and like start on something like that, somebody who has this decades, half a century of music, it's like, it's tough to get through. But I really, going into it, I knew Superfly, and I knew, I knew that he was in the Impressions and I knew, People Get Ready and some of their bigger songs, but I didn't really have this appreciation that I do now. Mm-hmm. When you kind of think about, it's the guy who, my idea was like, he's the guy who made the Blaxploitation soundtrack.
Yeah,
like,
Freddie Stitt. Yeah.
Something that was actually kind of going against what maybe the film itself was saying.
Yeah.
Like, and he kind of coined that, which I think is, Superfly, an incredible record. That one I was probably the most familiar with of all his stuff. But, going back, this first record, terrific. And really all his stuff through the 70s, I really enjoyed.
So here's my advice to you for next year, next January, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hit me.
Maybe pick like the Stone Roses or something like that.
Yes, being growing up in the 90s Britpop kid, I'm well aware. I got the Stone Roses. I got this down. Don't you worry. She bangs the drum, man. She bangs the drum.
Much there simpler. You go. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So you got one more that you're going to play out for us, right?
Yep.
Is that right, Tug?
Yeah. Yeah. So like I was saying, I really enjoyed his 70s work. So this one is from actually the one after Superfly. It's called Back to the World. It's the whole album is kind of a meditation on soldiers returning from Vietnam, and it's I've kind of picked a bunch of bleak songs, and I'm the song is called Ride On for the Darkness. But God, he definitely does some uplifting stuff, but sometimes the stuff that's just just telling it like it is, it's just it's so good, so good. This is probably the bleakest funk song you're gonna hear. Like,
right.
Oh. Okay. So we'd love to hear from other listeners too. If they're Curtis Mayfield fans, Impressions fans, hit us up. rock@suburbspod.com is how you can email us, or you can call and leave a message and we'll put your voice on a show. 612-440-1984. Or find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Suburbs Pod. And thanks very much for being with us this week, Tug.
Absolutely, Tug.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. It's been nice breaking up nap times with you.
All right, very good. Now you get back to parenting duties.
Yeah, that's right.
That's it, man.
I remember I used to sneak naps in when our kids were little and they were sleeping. I would like try to sleep too.
This is when I try and read a book. Like, oh my God, I can read five pages of a book here.
It's incredible.
All right, thanks, man. We'll talk to you soon. This is Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
With us was Tug Baker, and this is Curtis Mayfield, right on For the Darkness. And we'll talk to you guys, I guess. No, tomorrow.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow's another day. All right.
One more.
Soon that kid's going to wake up, right?
Exactly. Let's hope not.